96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
And I took a picture with someone I admire.
Good.
And he happens to be black, and I'm sorry.
I think it's nice that you admire him. I know him well, and he should be admired. And I'm just saying that it's too bad you can't admire him privately. And during your entire f***ing life, your whole life, admire him. Bring him here. Feed him. F*** him. I don't care. You can do anything. But don't put him on an Instagram so the world has to see, so they have to call me. And don't bring him into my games, okay?
That recorded phone call is now at the center of a multi-pronged focus on race and racism in America. It is allegedly the voice of L.A. Clippers owner Donald Sterling and girlfriend V. Stiviano talking about an Instagram photo she took with NBA great Magic Johnson. It is the latest in a string of race-related issues capturing the attention of African Americans over the past several days, including an affirmative action decision by the Supreme Court and comments about blacks by Nevada rancher Cliven Bundy. We're going to talk about all of them with my guests, D.C. Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton and Dr. Alvin Thornton, Howard University political science professor and former provost. Lines are open. What's on your mind? Give me a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Congresswoman Dr. Thornton, thank you both for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Congresswoman, let me first ask you, is this a shock? Is it surprising? Is it a wake-up call or business as usual when it comes to race in America?
Well, if you're talking about Donald
Sterling, yes, ma'am.
We seldom any longer hear overt racism. We know there's a lot of it out there, but somehow it doesn't get out. And this wouldn't have gotten out either if his girlfriend hadn't let it out, or she gave it to somebody, or somebody took it from her and let it out. And here it's raw racism. Cliven Bundy has talked himself into a racist a fit. He's a throwback to Plessy versus Ferguson or something. You haven't heard that kind of talk in my lifetime. So I think for anyone who thought we were in post-racial America, they've just seen all the evidence they need that there's still a lot of work we all have to do, white and black alike.
Indeed so. I think well said. But, you know, Dr. Thornton, we had this incredible affirmative action decision as it related to college admissions in Michigan. Were you surprised when this decision came down? And Congresswoman, I definitely want you to speak on this also, considering, you know, your legal background.
I was not surprised when this decision came down. I was particularly surprised, though, with the decision of the Michigan electorate, which is, I consider to be, a little bit informed. It's a northern Democratic-leaning state in some respects, a significant African-American population. But 58% of those people said they did not want affirmative action programs to take place in higher education and in any other area of Michigan life. I was not surprised at this court's decision, though, because it's clear that now there is a solid majority to reverse the Supreme Court's logic started in Bakke, which said that race may be one of several factors, not the determining factor, in admissions decisions. So I was surprised. I was not surprised by the court's action. I was surprised by the electoral decision.
But, Congresswoman, what do you think this portends for affirmative action nationwide and other issues, not necessarily just education, but perhaps hiring and contracts and set-asides, not just, you know, race, but indeed, you know, women, for example?
Well, the proposition or proposal, too, did not just involve education. It said that you couldn't use affirmative action or shouldn't use affirmative action in public contracting or in employment. And that really bothers me because I'm a former chair of the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. I have no doubt that, particularly given the breadth of Proposal 2 and the fact that the court didn't strike down any part of it, but looked only at the part that was in contention, the education part, that it could have ramifications to the other areas as well. The only thing that could keep it from having ramifications to public contracting and employment is that the Bakke case from which this descends is based on diversity. It's not based as we had hoped it would be when I was in the government. And this came when I was chair of the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. It involved, of course, education and unemployment. But we had hoped that Bakke would be based on past discrimination. But the court chose to base it on diversity. Now, public contracting and for that matter, employment, I had thought was always based on past discrimination. So what distinguishes this is diversity is not about past discrimination. It is about blacks, for goodness sakes, it's about blacks. But it's about assuring that there are blacks, people of color, in the area. Now, I'm interested what Dr. Thornton said, because I think just the opposite. Frankly, now call me a cynic, but I think if you were to put before the residents of the most progressive state, you would probably get a majority voting against special preferences or affirmative action for the minority. I just think that's the way, that's the mindset. That's why we have a constitution.
Mm-hmm.
The minority's rights always need some kind of super protection. So Michigan is not a state to write home about. It has progressive Detroit, but then it's had two extraordinary Democratic senators.
Well, I think, though, this is, and I agree with you, by the way, but I think this is where the political operations of any jurisdiction has a responsibility. I mean, those electorates are sitting out there to be swayed one way or the other on public policy questions. So I think we have to be a much more aggressive about fighting these things electorally, knowing that we're going to possibly lose judicially. Because if we reach a point where what I call extreme majoritarianism can trump the rights, fundamental rights, I think constitutionally protected rights of a minority, we are in deep trouble. We are going back to where a majority could say that we are slaves, we can't vote, the poll taxes, they can say anything. And that, for me, is a deep implication of this particular case.
That is a frightening prospect, what you're suggesting, which, you know, when you get down to brass tacks, what you're saying is, if you feel it, you need to vote.
You have to
address this issue at the polls.
Nobody would want, frankly, to have a majority vote on any constitutional right today.
Absolutely.
Certainly not one vote-biting African Americans that the majority has been part and parcel of invidious discrimination. But I wouldn't want them to vote on the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want them to vote on anything. Yeah. That was the whole theory of the Bill of Rights. That the majority shouldn't have a say in matters involving minorities, because they will always trump minorities with their own views. So this is a dangerous precedent.
We're talking about race and racism in America, from the Supreme Court all the way to this controversy coming out of L.A. with the L.A. Clippers. Join us, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Robert and Muriel on the phone, you're next.
There's no negativity, I love everybody. I'm just saying, in your lousy Instagram, you don't have to have yourself with walking with black people. You don't have to. If you want to, do it.
If it's white people, it's okay? If it was Larry Bird, would it have made a difference?
That recorded phone call is allegedly the voice of L.A. Clippers owner Donald Sterling and his girlfriend V. Stiviano talking about an Instagram photo she took with NBA great Magic Johnson. This issue has once again put the issue of race and racism in the spotlight in this country. We're talking about it tonight with D.C. Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton and Dr. Alvin Thornton, Howard University political science professor and former provost here
here at Howard University. The phone number, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. If you can't get through, please keep trying. I promise I will take your call even after we switch over to Sirius XM Channel 141. Robert, calling from Upper Marlboro, quickly, what's on your mind?
Hi, I'm not going to take too much of your time. One thing I want to comment on is the girl that, or his outside partner, I think it was a little vindictive, or I'm not sure what her goal was to, you know, get that information out, to expose him like that. I don't think that was fair, even though we know he is a racist and he needed to be found out. But the way he was found out, I think that this was organized agenda.
Robert, hold on. Who cares whether or not his side piece, his mistress, girlfriend, whatever, did what she did? That, whether it's fair or not, if indeed it comes out that this is what he said, you're worried about her being fair to him. What about him being fair to the dozens, indeed likely hundreds of African American or other minority employees, that are under his, dare I say, reign? I mean, do you think it's fair to have to work under this kind of attitude if indeed this is him?
Not at all. I totally agree with that, Harold, and I didn't want the public to take it that way. I just wish it would have been found out another way. He was going to get exposed, and he is going to get what's coming to him. I just hope that the fans that are season ticket holders do something about it. Sound like the public is on the same page as far as we need to boycott and not participate until something is done. But, you know, it scares me to think of a black fan or black fan ticket holders that are there. And I wish that they don't say, hey, well, you know, these tickets cost me a lot of money, you know, and I want to enjoy the game. I really wish they support this. And not only the black people, but the white fans as well, because a lot of those fans in there aren't racist, and they know that this thing should be tolerated, so they should stand with us as well.
Okay, Robert, thank you so much for your phone call. If you're on the line, that includes Jim, Muriel, Charles, Gurin. We will take your phone call. Please do not hang up. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Just a bit of housekeeping. We wanted to let you know that WHUR will continue to stay on this issue this week. This will be the topic of conversation at least tomorrow and indeed on Wednesday, perhaps the rest of the week as it merits. So stay tuned for more all week on this issue of race and racism in America. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Callers, do not hang up. We'll be with you in just a bit.